Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Take your pixie out of your pockets. The Neverland Podcast, episode 110, is dedicated to Lost Boy Phil and his speedy recovery from brain surgery.
I'm Jeremy, host of the Neverland Podcast, found at neverlandpodcast.com. This is my show on iTunes and Stitcher. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I plugged in my microphone and said, "By the power of Neverland, I am a podcast!" I became a mighty podcast host, and Neverland became the geekiest podcast on the internet. There are other things I feature besides Disney: Marvel, Thundercats, and He-Man. Together, we defend Neverlanders from the evil boredom of adulthood.
All right, Neverlanders, if you have listened to episode 72, which if you haven't, stop what you're doing and go listen to episode 72. But we talked to a fella by the name of Daniel Benedict, who was working on a Masters of the Universe fan film, but it's almost become more than a fan film. But he was in the process of editing it for its first viewing at a convention in Germany, and now we're like a year after that, and my goodness, your year has just been a complete adventure. And so we have him coming back on to tell us all about it. Please welcome, from Red Serial Studios, Daniel Benedict.
Hello. Thank you for having me back on. That's awesome. I thought you'd forgotten all about me.
Oh, certainly not. I've been keeping an eye on this movie.
Kidding. Things have been pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever think it would go as far as it has?
Nope. Absolutely not. When I first did the Kickstarter, I didn't even think that I would even succeed in that. So, it's definitely exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I would say that would completely catch me by surprise, because I mean, I did my own little fan film. We just used Sony Handycam, and we made the excuse of our cheap effects and cheap costumes that we were kind of doing a slacker version of things, and so we just kind of had fun with it. But I mean, you've got some serious production going on. I've even seen a music video for this.
Yeah, that's those guys, Ball of Mayhem, reached out to me. They're huge He-Man fans, and they were like, "Hey, can we do a song?" And I was like, "Sure." And then they were like, "Well, can we write it? Can we write a theme song?" I'm like, "Even better, yeah, go ahead." And then they're like, "Can we do a video?" I'm like, "Man, just yeah, do it all." And it turned out so well. I love the song. It's so catchy. I'm constantly like humming it when I don't even realize it, and very blessed to have these guys to contribute. And then the music video is on the Blu-ray as a bonus feature.
Awesome. And I still find it funny. When I first saw the video on YouTube, I did mention that I had noticed that it looked like a car going by in the background at one shot, and they were trying to do this great scene with like this castle background and everything. And then you see this car go by, and they had a great response to it when I said, "Hey, I think I see a car go by at this time." I said, "That's not a car. That's He-Man going by on one of these sky cycles." I was like, "Perfect."
I mean, didn't you know? It's the Wind Rider.
Yeah, the Wind Rider. That's what it was. Wind Rider.
That's funny.
I've been playing too much Disney Infinity. Everything sky cycles on there with the Avengers set. But yeah. Oh my goodness. I would almost say this isn't your first rodeo, because I did find out that you did this little horror film called Bunny. And so you've done a film production before, but now to this level of where this has taken you. I mean, well, let's just start. I mean, the first thing, of course, you went to what was it called? Masters Con in Germany? Was that what it's called?
It was Grayskull Con.
So
yeah, we showed it in Grayskull Con in Germany. Huge He-Man fan base there. It was an awesome convention. I'd never been to Germany or any country other than the U.S. Up to that point, and it was a very unique experience in the country itself and at the convention. And I was so nervous because the first time anyone had seen it at all, and I had just finished it, you know, right hours before I drove to the airport to go.
Wow.
And yeah, it was pretty last minute, and I hadn't slept in weeks. Literally, we're talking like, you know, an hour max a night, and I had a cold, and I had a bad cold, and I was just physically miserable, you know, going there. But you know, after being there and getting some rest and hanging out with a lot of cool people and stuff, things were better. So the night of the premiere, I was so nervous, I was biting my nails, and the movie starts, the room's full, everyone is stone-faced. I'm like, oh no. It's like, you know, these guys are going to be like, you know, maybe they're going to be harsh critics, you know. And so about 20 minutes in, there's like no response. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. They hate it. And, but as time went on, I was looking around, I saw people's reactions. People started like getting into it and getting excited about it and laughing at the right spots. And at the end, everyone thoroughly enjoyed. There's a video I posted on my YouTube channel that's like the reaction at the end credits of everyone. But everyone was so complimentary. I was very relieved that everyone really enjoyed it. I really haven't, anyone that's seen it, maybe they're just being nice to me, I don't know, but no one has said anything bad about it.
Okay, well, I'll make it a point when I watch it on Monday on YouTube. I'll come up with something bad to say.
Oh, I appreciate it.
It was too short, man. What's the problem with you? Oh, so after the showing in Germany, did you already have everything set up where you're going to be showing it at conventions in the United States, or did you start getting invites? I mean, how does, because I've kept seeing on the Facebook page, like, oh, we're over here showing it. Oh, guess what? We're going to show it over here. And I was like, wow, this is going everywhere.
Yeah. Well, everything, all the showings except for one had been set up way in advance. Let me bring up the list. I don't even remember where we showed it now. Okay, so right after Germany, the following week, we premiered it in Hollywood. That was the U.S. premiere at the Egyptian Theater, which was, it was surreal that I'm showing a film that I made in Hollywood. That had been set up, you know, since the beginning of the year almost. And the same thing for, we showed in our hometown a week after that, and that was, that was probably my favorite, maybe. Oh, there's so many. Each one's my favorite. That was really cool because it was our hometown. We filmed it here. Most of the cast and crew are from here or live here. And we did it as a, most all the screens are benefits. And this was a benefit for Toys for Tots, to where you bring in a toy donation and that's your ticket. It's your cost of admission. And we sold out. We had to go and bring in extra folding chairs for people to sit in like the aisles. And I can't remember the number of toys that we had. It was several hundred. It was crazy. People were bringing multiples or several toys just for one ticket. And what was really cool is that I even saw in the bins He-Man figures, like unopened 2000X He-Man toys.
Wow.
Which is really cool. And we did a bunch of giveaways. I had a lot of DVDs and toys and things, He-Man related stuff that I gave away during the event. And so I really liked that one. That was really cool. My parents were there. My daughter was there. So it was, you know, it was really cool. And let's see, then we did Louisville. That was fun. Chicago was really, really cool. That was the week after that. People showed up in cosplay. We had a whole event in Chicago. We had we started off at a comic shop, and we timed it to where it coincided with the release of the official Masters of the Universe Dark Horse mini comic book collection, which, if people don't know what that is, it's like in the 80s, the He-Man figures came with mini comics and packaged inside. And what Mattel and Dark Horse has done is they've collected all of the mini comics from all time and put them in this thick dictionary type book. It's so awesome. Anyway, but it was just released. Actually, I don't think it was released until maybe a couple of days after. I can't remember. But Dark Horse allotted us several cases to sell at this comic shop to coincide with our, quote, event.
Wow.
So we did that. We had some signings there with some of the cast. And we had some other He-Man-type people there, Pixel Dan. And then several people that worked on the mini comic book, like Val Stables. And anyway, so that was for a couple hours. Then we drove down the road to Toy du Jour. Challenger Comics was the first one. We went to Toy du Jour, and it was like a traveling little mini convention. We set up there, and that was really cool. I wanted to spend hundreds of dollars there that I didn't have because of all the cool toys. And then after that, we went into the theater and had the screening. Oh, before the screening, we had to stop by a restaurant and eat Chicago style pizza. I've never eaten Chicago style pizza in Chicago, so it was a must. So
yeah, especially there, they have a stuffed pizza there that I've tried when I was in Chicago that is fantastic.
Oh man, it's absurd how good it is.
Oh yeah. Sorry, New Yorkers, but you know, Chicago pizza. It's good stuff.
But
granted, I don't think I've ever had a New York pizza. But anyways.
Yeah. At that showing, there were a ton of people in cosplay, which it blew me away. I had no idea. I walked up to the theater. People were waiting in line dressed as like Skeletor and Hordak and News and She-Ra. It was really cool. Everyone at all these screenings thoroughly enjoyed it. I got all the right responses. You know, everyone laughed at the right parts and cheered for the right parts, and it made me feel very, very good that I accomplished something.
But now you got to follow it up with something.
I mean, I want to. I already have the idea for the sequel. I already have. I already know what I want to do. I just don't know if I'm going to do it because it was such hard work. I would definitely like give myself way more time and ask for way more money. I would have to. There's no other way to do it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, one of these days you'll just say, it's that labor of love thing. You know, the passion will just come up and like, I gotta do another He-Man.
Yeah, probably.
Has Mattel taken notice?
Yeah, they know about it. They, let's see, actually, a guy that used to work for Mattel and a guy that currently works for Mattel came to the Hollywood screening, like as in a personal capacity. I'm sure not in an official capacity. And they were complimentary of it. They really enjoyed it. They really liked it. It was really good. So you know that was really surreal in itself. And at that showing, the Dean Stephan, the head writer for the 2002 He-Man cartoon, was there, and he said, you know, that it was awesome. It should have been an actual episode of the cartoons. So,
except for, I'm sure you're, you know, being live action, you could be a little bit more gritty and you know, because even from the comic you have as a setup for the film, which everybody needs to go to fallofgrayskull.com and download. It's a PDF file. It's really brilliantly done. It's a really great comic that gives you a setup for the story of Fall of Grayskull. And it's, I tell you what, it's considering that, hey, you know, these are battling with swords and weapons that, you know, somebody's going to get hurt. We'll just put it like that. So it looks like you were able, you know, being that you're, hey, live action, this can be believable. You know, there can be some injuries that are not really normally allowed in a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that you liked it and that it was good.
Oh, yeah. It was great. The artwork is really outstanding. I mean, it looked very, very professional. It seemed like something I would have gone to a comic shop and had purchased.
Oh, thanks. The art looks good because I didn't do it. I wrote the story, but the two guys, Sammy, did the did the inside, and Simon did the cover, and both look phenomenal. Sammy, they both live in Germany, and this man worked his day job and then came home and immediately worked on the comic until it was time to go to his day job again. I mean, this guy was a maniac with what he got done and the amount of time that he had to do it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure some comic company should be taking notice of it if they get a chance to look at this, because it was every bit as good for the DC series that was coming out at the time. It looked like it could have been just pulled right from the same pages. I mean, that is just some serious high quality. I think he definitely has got a chance of working in a comic company. And
he should. I mean, if anyone's listening out there, Sammy Hajimar and Simon Eckert, get these guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And everybody's definitely got to go to the website and just check this out. So I don't want to spoil any of the story or anything, but it's some really... You took some serious risks with some different twists of things and how you're setting stuff up. Some very unexpected things kind of happen just in the comic that really got me intrigued after I read it. I was like, oh my goodness, I gotta see what he's done with this movie now. And so since I didn't know about the Kickstarter, I've had to sit and wait until January the 11th. This Monday it will be on YouTube, and I believe your channel on YouTube, you even have just a Fall of Grayskull channel, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's my personal channel, but I only post He-Man related things on it. The handle is Fresh Danny B. So it's, but it has three N's. So it's FreshDannyB.
And of course, I will be posting it up on our news.neverlandpodcast.com page, probably with a bit of review, because I'm going to definitely make sure I get a chance to watch it. And the nice thing is about modern technology and Google Fiber is I can sit there and watch YouTube on my nice, you know, flat screen TV, so I can just sit in the living room and watch it, and then
probably
watch
it again. Nice.
So, oh yeah, definitely we will be posting it up on the website, because I've been excited about this, because it looks really, really cool. I like the style of you've done, and I've seen some other people attempt to do some Masters of the Universe fan films trilogy. I tried to look in on some. My philosophy on a fan film, if you know you don't have a budget, you know, to make your film look really good, do it for laughs. Because that's the only way it's going to work. Because I've seen a lot of Star Wars fan films, and some of them that were trying to be so serious, but yet the believability wasn't there. And so, like, you know, if you were trying to make me laugh, it would have worked better.
Well, I think, first of all, you're talking about John Carroll. And the thing with doing, you know, films, you know, I'm not a professional, or at least I maybe try to pretend to be one, but when the audience watches a movie, I think that they go into it, you know, with expectations. So, like, knowing that my movie is a fan film, I'm assuming that people are going to have a little lowered expectations, which if I'm able to exceed their expectations by just a smidge, I think that they'll be pleasantly surprised and maybe happy. I still think that, I look at it now and I'm like, I hate it now. You know, I don't know, people always say, like, people that do art are never truly finished with it or whatever the phrase is. But, like, I look at it now, I'm like, man, I wish I could go back and redo it all over again, because, you know, I see all the flaws, and it's definitely not like a, you know, $100 million Hollywood movie. And so I think that you just have to do the best with what you have. And so for other fan films that I've seen out there, I personally thoroughly enjoy John Carroll's trilogy. And each one that he's done, you know, is better than the previous. This last one, which also premiered at GrayskullCon in Germany, I had the most fun watching that movie than I've ever had watching any movie, because I liked him. I knew all the people in the movie, and his story was cool. And I had been waiting. It was a cliffhanger. Part two was a cliffhanger. And I had been waiting for, man, maybe it was 2 years to see the conclusion. And it was so cool. I got that feeling of, like, I don't know, it's, you know, like going to see, like, a, I don't know what movies you're into. Like, you're going to see Harry Potter. Going to see Star Wars. Yeah. And then, like, at the cliffhanger, and then you're like, oh, then you've got to wait 2 years. And then you jump back into the story. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like that for me. So I mean, maybe I'm going to pimp his website. Can I do that?
Yeah, go right ahead, because I'm probably going to still try to check it out, because I think I jumped in somewhere, I think it was like the third part of something, and I was like, well, what's this, you know, and I went and took a look, and I didn't know what was going on. I was like, okay, well, it looks like there's a trilogy of this, so, but I was like, yeah, I wish, well, he, you know, he looked like he was in the same boat I am, where you just don't really have the budget you want to do everything you want to be able to do.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's so many limitations, mm-hmm. and I bet now if he could go back, he would probably do a lot of things differently. I can't find his channel. If you search Trials of Dark Smoke on YouTube, or no, that's part three, or The Fountain of Life is part two, and The Wizard of Stone Mountain is part one, and they're on YouTube. They're really, really cool.
And I think he's even got an IMDb page set up. I think that's where I first saw something on them.
Yeah, yes, he does.
I was doing some research on everything. I saw you had an IMDb page for Fall of Grayskull, and I saw, oh, look, here's some other fan films for Masters of the Universe. So I went and took a look around to see what was going on. And I don't think that many people have tried to tackle the franchise. It doesn't seem like it, a lot of people have. Most people, you know, they want to do Star Wars or superheroes, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Doing something like Masters of the Universe, you know, I guess no one thinks that they can pull off.
It's, I don't know. It's, I don't know. I've seen, okay, with his fan films, I've seen those, I like those. I've seen several others, and several trailers, like, you know, just fake trailers for, mm-hmm. for movies, which was originally what I was going to do, just a trailer. But then I was like, I would still need money to make it look good, and no one's going to give me money for a trailer, so I better make a film. And some of them aren't good, but I can't really bash them, because, you know, the things that I made when I first started were 10 times worse than that. So there's a She-Ra fan film on YouTube. Let me find that. The cameras aren't good, you know, compared to a lot of things. But I sat here. Yeah, it's called She-Ra Princess of Power fan film, and the subtitle is Surely You Jest. It's entertaining. It's very entertaining. It's 32 minutes long. It was posted 2 years ago. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That's probably my, I don't know. No, Trials of Darksmoke's my favorite, but this one's second favorite.
Well, now I got some YouTube viewing to do.
Yes, you do.
Because that's the thing. As long as you're at least having fun with it, because, you know, I wouldn't, like, whenever I've tried to do something, I don't know if I'll be trying to do anything else. We did think about doing a sequel to Supers that we had made with a super villains, which we might get around to doing. But it took so much work and effort, even for, you know, just low budget and really not having a whole lot, and trying to figure out, you know, how we were going to make things look somewhat believable, that we just had a good time with it and went for that. And I think as long as you're having fun, even if nobody ever bothers to go and watch it, at least you had fun making it.
Absolutely. And I can say that for probably 80% of everything that I've ever done, it's, you know, at least I had fun making it.
Because mm-hmm. that's part of it. It's the love of whatever your subject is, and the love of film to some degree, you know, that, and you're thinking, you know what, I want to try to make something and create something, and that's always a lot of fun. And if it takes off, it's a wonderful thing. And if not, you know what, you had a good time.
Yes.
But see, now you've got expectations on you, because you've had something that has, you know, kind of gotten around, taken off. Your Kickstarter went really well. I saw you had a picture on Facebook where you've got a lot of Kickstarter rewards to get sent out. A lot of really neat stuff. Some Blu-rays, DVDs. Looks like you had a soundtrack CD, which I'm guessing has a little bit more than just the one, the theme song.
Yeah, the soundtrack has, how many tracks? Let me grab it real quick. 17 tracks. 17 tracks. It has three tracks that are songs, one theme song and two songs from two other bands. One of the band's name is Skeletor. and then the rest of the tracks is the score by Rob Harriman.
Wow.
So yeah, there's that. And you mentioned the rewards. Yes, this, I'm surrounded right now by boxes and envelopes, and I'm feeling like I'm living in an episode of Hoarders. It's it's been very daunting. And very expensive. When I did the Kickstarter, I budgeted for the rewards and the shipping of them. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that money was gone like that, and so I've had to just scrounge up the money from selling organs and such. And
you didn't need that spleen anyway.
No, of course not.
It's only
sell your organs for
you
the name. Sell your organs in the name of Masters of the Universe.
There you go.
But I have DVDs and Blu-rays and soundtracks, T-shirts, the comics. What else am I sending out? And people are going to get digital downloads of the soundtrack and movie and a wallpaper. All that's done. I just have to package it all up and address everything and organize it. My head's spinning. But it'll get done. Hopefully, I'll get most of it out by Monday whenever the film is shown online, and I'm excited to get this done.
You can finally wrap your hands up and say, all right, there we go. Done.
That's right.
Now, that kind of also begs the question, though, because you do have an original idea, Bunny, that y'all hadn't done before, and I think I saw something you're actually adding some additional scenes to it or something?
Yeah, when did it come out? It came out Halloween 2013. We premiered it for the first time. It was about the movie itself is about 60 minutes, which technically it's feature length, but people kind of expect feature lengths to be a little bit longer than that, though. So whenever we got picked up for distribution, they're like, you need to make this longer. So I re-edited some parts. I shot some new stuff. And now it's 73, 75 minutes. And it's got a new ending. And some filler. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do. but that'll come out. I don't know exactly where it's going to come out. Hopefully everywhere. It's being pitched to everyone to buy. Hopefully it'll be released everywhere, but it'll be March 8th. And, I think they picked that because of it's right before Easter and Bunny Easter. Haha.
That is Bunny with an eye though, everybody. And right. This is not a happy, friendly little rabbit tale. This apparently is a horror film.
Yes, it's very much a horror film with all the things that you would expect from a horror film. So don't let your kids watch it.
Yeah. Can kids watch He-Man, though? The Masters of the Universe?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
It's got a little bit of blood. It's got a lot of, some fighting. I always say it's got fantasy / sci-fi action violence with a little blood. But there's no cursing. There's no adult situations. Blah, blah, blah.
PG-13 level probably or below kind of thing.
I'd say so. I'd say PG.
Yeah, PG. Awesome. Okay, because I figured, Lord of the Rings, PG-13, you could go about that level. But yeah, it's hard to gauge where they're going to put things anymore between PG-13 and PG. And some things I think they put PG-13 on, I'm thinking, that seemed very PG to me. But well, whatever. What do I know? I get very confused. So with Bunny out there, it looks like you're kind of moving into becoming more of an independent filmmaker. So do you have any other new ideas that you're kind of thinking about getting started on, other than maybe doing another Masters of the Universe fan film?
I do. I've had an idea for a film for a while. I think that it's pretty original. It's another horror film, but it's I don't even want to say anything about it, but I do have an idea. And so I'm like weighing, well, first of all, while I was filming this Fall of Grayskull, I was like, I'm never filming anything again. But of course, now that I'm out of that, I'm like, what can I do next?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to do first of all, the thing I'm doing next is taking a long break.
Yeah.
But then I don't know if I'm going to return and do the sequel or if I'm going to go do another original idea. I'm right at this moment, I'm leaning towards the original idea just because it's going to be so difficult to do the follow-up, because I want to do a She-Ra film, And I want to make it a feature. I want to make, you know, make it at least, you know, 80 minutes or so. And I want to have like, you know, live locations, like real sets, real locations, and not doing everything in green screen. So that would be very difficult.
Yeah, it would. You'd have to move to New Zealand for a couple of months.
Exactly.
Which may be worth it. You
know? Never know.
Well, it would be kind of interesting if, you know, I think the license for making a feature film is definitely somebody's got it, because there was some artwork released probably about a year or so ago of what supposedly Battle Cat was going to look like. So, I mean, this is being juggled around somewhere. Maybe someone will see what you've done and, you know, maybe you'll get some opportunity to have some input on it, or, you know, maybe somebody will say, you know what, we need a She-Ra film. Oh, look, he's got a script. Hey, we kind of like it. Next thing you know, you've got a fully funded production going on. You know?
That would be the dream, man. That would be awesome. I could only hope something like that, anything would happen. Throw me some scraps or anything, yeah. but there is Sony, Columbia Pictures / Sony. They have the rights to the film, and they've been, you know, going through several versions of the script for years. And I think his name's Christopher Yost, maybe? The guy who... Did let me look up that real quick. I don't want to give false information out here. He did the script for the new Thor film that's coming out.
Oh, Ragnarok.
So he wrote that script, and he has penned the latest version of the He-Man script for Sony. And I hope that it comes out. I mean, I hope that it comes out, and I hope that it's... I'm sure that it's going to be everything that every He-Man fan wants. I'm positive. And that's another thing that kind of keeps me from doing another one. I'm like, you know, I don't want... if I were to, like, start another He-Man film, and then like, the real one, you know, if the official He-Man fan film, or the official film would come out, or, you know, or there'd be news of it, it would kind of be like, why am I even doing this? You know, I quit. I want to see the real one. I don't want to, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be that labor of love. You feel like, well, nobody's going to care. And now comes this feature film. And we have been waiting a long time. Cause I mean, you have the Dolph Lundgren, which it's kind of fun, but I think they kind of fell apart when they decided to put it on Earth. It lost something right at that point. We've really been waiting for a good, you know, no holds barred fantasy, sci-fi mixture adventure on Eternia the entire time. And I mean, it was some good backstory with Skeletor. I mean, that's one of the things I liked about the newer animated series, is you got a really good backstory on Keldor and becoming Skeletor. And so, I mean, there's so much you could do. I mean, the origins of the castle and the power swords and so many things that can be thrown in, you know, even if you don't spend the entire movie, of course, talking about it. There's so many things that we'd love to see and story-wise put up on a big screen that, I tell you what, they really have to just go all out and we'll just go crazy.
I agree. I was able to read an official script, not this new one, and not the Jeff Wadlow script that came before it, but the one before that. I actually read it, and it was really good. I mean, it was really cool. I was like, wow. I was like, I pictured, you know, the movie in my head. I was like, this is a legit, you know, Hollywood, Marvel level type of a movie, and I really hope that something like that gets made soon. He-Man needs it.
Oh, yeah. And we need some toys that don't cost us $100 through Maddie Collector.
Absolutely.
Because I would really start loving to collect those and everything, because I see what they make, and I'm like, these are great. And they started remaking, you know, kind of updated versions of the classic style. And I've even seen YouTube videos where a guy compares the original Castle Grayskull with the new, you know, vintage line from Matty Collector, which, you know, one cost him $20 and the other one has cost him $200. And I'm like, man. Wow. It's like they're trying to get us. They know we want it, so they're just going to make the most expensive thing they can just because they know people will spend that kind of money. And then you have people like me who are sitting there going, yeah, I just got $200 just sitting around burning a hole in my pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, we're junkies, man. We're He-Man toy junkies, and we know it.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, if they would just bring prices down to them. I mean, come on. You know, Star Wars can put out toys for like $7, $8, and we'll go and, you know, we'll get our fix. Put some He-Man toys back there at about the price, about the average figures. We'll buy the Daylights out of those things. And we're the type we'll still proudly display them and never take them out of the package, just as you would want us to do, Matty Collector.
I think that we'll get, if they do a new animated series or an animated film or a live action film, I think that we'll get a new toy line in retail.
Yeah, and I've kind of wondered about, you know, when DC got the rights to do a comic series, and they've done some really just gutsy stuff with some of the directions they've taken it. I always kind of wondered, okay, well, DC being tied in with Warner Brothers, does Warner Brothers Animation have any sort of opportunity to maybe, because they've been doing a lot of, you know, DC, Warner Brothers Animation, straight to DVD films, could they maybe have the right to make an animated He-Man DVD? I don't know if they, you know, that's stepping on Sony's area a little bit too much, but you know, basing it on the comics series, you know, because that's generally where they get their stories. They'll pull something from a comics and animate it.
Yeah, I think that, and I could be wrong in this. I think that Mattel themselves has the rights to do a new cartoon. Maybe I don't think that anyone does. I know that I think Classic Media has the rights to the vintage cartoon or the Filmation cartoon. I don't know. I would like to see Mattel just out of their own studios just pump out animated films and hire me to write them.
Sure. We'd gladly step up and it's like, hey, tell me what you want me to write about and I'll do it. Heck, I would enjoy, even if they just based it off some of the, like, the mini comics, which I have not gotten to buy that collection from Dark Horse yet, but it's definitely on my to-do list. Some of the original ideas where you had, Adam as, I don't know exactly when Adam came in, but I've seen, it's hard to pinpoint the actual original ideas they had for Master of the Universe, but they had where He-Man was still, like, a prince and was guarding Grayskull and stuff like that. But some of the original ideas to take maybe the stories from the mini comics and maybe update them and animate those, I'd actually be very excited about as well.
That's a really good idea. They should have like short, they could do like short web cartoons where like they animate like the mini comics.
Goodness, that is an awesome idea. Yeah. Webisodes.
Exactly. And I just looked up on Amazon. You have no excuse. It's $20.25 for the mini comic collection. Get it today.
Oh, I would get it today, but my bank account's actually sitting negative right now. True story.
Hey, are you sure you're not looking at my account? Because
yeah, I believe me, I know the feeling. We've had some surgeries to pay for around here, so
I hope we're not serious.
Well, not too bad, but yeah. Wasn't on me, but yeah, the Neverlanders, I think I probably already mentioned my wife's knee surgery and stuff, and she's going to have another one, but healing up very well. But yeah, it's
sorry to hear rough. That.
But so when we're back in the normal, believe me, I got a long list of things to go after, because I think there was even the DC collections are all set together now, because I didn't get to read everything they did with some of their new takes of I especially really even liked from their first issue where they surprised with somebody who looked like Hordak, and there was Adora, and they were attacking Eternia. And I love the way they introduced Adora, where she was more gung-ho as part of the Horde before she starts realizing she's on the wrong side of things. And
yeah,
just a lot of just brave ways of doing the ideas that already kind of have been presented maybe in the animated series, but doing it slightly differently and ways that are a little gutsy. That's pretty much what that series was.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I haven't kept up since it's changed titles to the Eternity War. Just because the comic shop that I was getting my comics from decided not to sell comics anymore.
Well.
So I went in to pick up my comics. I'm like, I should have like 6 or 7 months worth of comics in there. They're like, I don't see them, and we don't even sell comics anymore. I'm like, oh, Well, you should have called me.
Yeah, somebody.
But before that, I've read all the issues and I really love it. It's interesting. I love the different take. Like, you know, like you said, it's really different and it's enjoyable.
It's got that familiarity, but yet that risk taking new storytelling. So you can't predict what's happening.
That's true.
I tell you what, they stunned me with some stuff. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah.
But I wish I could have kept on it better. I'm missing a lot of the issues of it, too. But, oh, yeah. And that's, I think, what we need to be able to keep this alive is having stuff that pays enough tribute to what we're familiar with, but yet taking in new directions. And really, with the comic for that you've written, there is some... Definitely, everybody go to fallofgrayskull.com, download this PDF. There are some definite risky things that you did in storytelling that I was like, why would you do that? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? So, but it got me interested to see the film even more, so, which is exactly the point. So,
Are you speaking of like certain people's demise?
Well, I wasn't going to go and say that much of it, but yeah, I mean, there is something you did that I was like, whoa.
Well, the comic, I did the comic for three reasons. Number one, because I think it's awesome. It's an awesome idea to do a comic. Whenever Secret of the Sword came out in 1985 at the theaters, I remember going to the theater and them handing me like a little comic to go along with the film. I thought that was really cool, so I wanted to do something like that. I also wanted to explain, you know, the story, the setup, because the film itself is basically like the end of a full-length movie. It's kind of the climax. And third, I needed to kind of explain maybe why certain characters aren't in the movie, certain characters that you would expect, like why is Battle Cat not in, you know, a He-Man movie, or where's, you know, Man-at-Arms, or, you know. So I had to explain that away, kind of, too. So, that, you know, it served several purposes, but I really... love the way it turned out. I'm sitting here looking at it now, and it's... You don't have a physical copy, do you?
Nope, I just have the PDF file.
I'll have to mail you one. It's so cool to sit here and hold something like that, because I've never... You know, I've done lots of things over the years. I've done lots of different art projects and films and stuff, but I've never been able... I've never made, like, a comic book. And I remember as a kid, I would make my own comics for like my family. I would like, you know, use crayon and notebook paper and staples and like make my own Captain America comics. And I would even like fake have my grandmother subscribe to my comics. I'd have her like cut up like the back cover and like fill out her name and stuff and send in like 10 cents. And I would, you know, so I've always liked doing such things. And I'm not a good enough artist to actually, you know, do the art, but it's cool that I was able to, you know, put this together and facilitate, you know, something that I can sit here and hold in my hand and be like, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
I still have all the comics that I used to draw for my friends. They're not very well drawn.
You should post those online, man.
Oh, no. Believe me, they're not good enough to where I would post them online without people going like, what in the world? And I said, okay, well, you got to remember, I was like, you know, 11, 12, you know.
We'll just put that disclaimer on it, like, you know, written by the 11-year-old in, like, whatever year you were.
Yeah, and also the limitation, because I usually, I get, like, four pieces of, like, printer paper and fold them over, and so you're very limited on how well you can tell a story because you have just a few pages.
Yeah.
So what I've always actually wanted to do, and I have started on it a few times, is write, like, a novelization. And, you know, because I've thought of ways, you know, I've updated the characters and I've got an idea for at least a series of books that I could write. I just haven't sat down to do it because I did create a lot of my own characters and everything. And so,
do it.
Yeah.
You need to do it. Don't make excuses. Just do it.
Yeah, I really do need to do it. I'm like maybe three or four chapters in, which and then I abandoned the project probably about 5 years ago. But I've always thought, oh, I really need to go back to that. And I have all these ideas because really with a. How I wanted to do, like, with the first story is it's in order to keep it going, is of course you have a main storyline, but all these side stories where your main character can be learning things and becoming the hero he's meant to be, you know. I've got it all in my head. I just need to sit down and do it.
I know what it's like to have projects that you start on and abandon.
Mm-hmm. You get sidetracked.
Yep. You get sidetracked, and a lot of those things for me, you know, I look back and I'm like, okay, that worked out well. That probably should have been abandoned. But if like you, if you keep coming back in your mind, like, I want to do this, I have this new idea, I have these new characters, I have this story, like, my advice would be just to do it. If my unsolicited advice that you don't want, force yourself to do it. Put yourself in a bind like I did. Like, after the Kickstarter went through, I'm like, oh man, crap, now I actually have to make this movie. So I was forced to make it. There was no getting around it. I couldn't shelve it. I had to do it.
Yeah, maybe that's what I need, is just a good Kickstarter to actually go through and publish some. I got one book that I did finish writing, but I'm going back through and the editing, and somewhere in the editing I got sidetracked by having all these other things to do, and being a podcaster becomes a full-time occupation when you're not working too. You know, providing all the good content that everybody hopefully is enjoying. So it takes a lot of work. So yeah, it's just finding the time sometimes.
I understand. Oh, and there's usually no time.
Oh yeah. But enough about complaining about no time. Well, let's make sure everybody knows where to go to find this. We've mentioned this website several times, fallofgrayskull.com.
Yes.
And if anyone is curious about Bunny, what was it? Redcereal.com. And of course, we're not talking breakfast cereal here.
Yeah, it's cereal, like a serial killer. RedSerial.com.
Which serial killer seems to be appropriate, since it seems to be horror movies that you're focusing on.
they're really fun to do, and they're, I don't know, I've always, that's pretty much all I've basically done over the years since the 90s. I was always making, I started off making Friday the 13th fan films back then. And I wouldn't even call them films, I would call them Friday the 13th home movies. Or, I don't know, one of these days I'll get enough nerve to post it online or something, or I'll add it as a special feature on my first official Hollywood movie or something. How about that?
Yeah, I've actually seen some friends of mine when they were kids, they did Thanksgiving, and their first, I guess, scare of the film was showing, oh, look, here's a full turkey, and then the next shot, the turkey is nothing but a stack of bones. And then it's this serial killer
awesome.
That comes out Friday the 13th style on Thanksgiving to kill everybody who ate his turkey, apparently.
I mean, I've seen a lot of movies that actually got made that are out there that are way crazier and crappier than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they were still all kids at the time, too. So, you know, if you ever kept with it, you'd probably start getting better ideas as you grow.
Absolutely, yeah. Each time I do something, I feel like that I've done a little bit better. I learned something from each project, and I've definitely learned a lot doing the He-Man film.
Yeah.
Especially about green screen and lighting and stuff.
Oh yeah. See, if I ever do another project, I'm going to learn how to do some green screen, and I'm going to get some like good video editing stuff. But I've kind of moved more to the audio side of thing, I guess, now with podcasting.
Yeah.
Which, you never know. We might get around to making that sequel of Supervillains, and who knows? We might get some green screen going on, because I tell you what, some cheap effects, even though Silly String done right can appear like Spider-Man shot a web, but, nobody's buying it if you stick on that shot for too long. Okay.
Just fix it in post, man. That's what everybody always says. Fix it in post.
Yeah, and I've seen some people do some amazing effects with some very simple type of work, with even simple ways to make lightsabers or laser blasts, and they'll just go through and literally take every frame and take them out into Photoshop and draw their stuff on there, and then take those Photoshopped images and put them back into the film. And like, oh my goodness, that's a lot of time and patience and... Wow.
I know all too well about what you just said.
Yeah, I'm sure you had to do quite a bit.
Oh, the Photoshop. Photoshop's my favorite program ever.
Yeah, I should probably get a copy of that, but I'm not artistic enough to merely make it good. I've got like Paint.net and GIMP. GIMP I can't figure out, and Paint.net, basically the whole of my skills is what anybody ever has seen. If you look at the cover art for any episode of the Neverland podcast, that's put together on Paint.net with my buddy Phil doing the drawing of me, and then I colorize, added in a picture text that my friend Deanna made, and I know how to assemble stuff that somebody else has already made. See, that's what it is.
I'm looking at a picture of you as Captain America right now.
That's our current season. That's actually was my season two. I need to get the season three done. We do have plans to do a Star Wars image as soon as Philip gets time to draw me as Luke Skywalker and Heather as Leia. Which is creepy awesome. Because Heather being my wife and yet we're drawing her where we're brother and sister. But the idea is that I'm always standing there holding a microphone over my head. And I thought, if you look at the original Star Wars poster where he's got that lightsaber over his head, he's already in that position.
That's right.
So, and it all started from that original one. We did do that He-Man parody, except for in front of Cinderella's castle, because we are a Disney podcast for most of the time. So I'm in a He-Man pose in front of a Disney castle. So look, it says everything that Neverland is supposed to be. It's retro, and yet it's also Disney. So we're talking about He-Man, and we're going to talk about Disney.
Hey, sounds like you're pretty safe to me.
Yeah, it's a well-rounded show. And thank Goodbye. You for coming on again and tell us about this movie. And
thank you, man. You're giving me a chance to brag about the film. And before I go, I've been talking about it from my perspective, but you know, it was a very, very much a group effort. So if you watch the film, look at the credits. Ridiculous amount of people. You know, so many people, so many of my friends. And the Kickstarter backers, there were a lot of them. Doing the credits, I'm like, man, I didn't realize there were so many. So that's who I owe my soul to, is all the people that have helped. Because if it wasn't for those people, I would just be, I don't know, twiddling my thumbs.
Yeah, and big props to your makeup artists and your costume designers, because, I mean, just from the images I've seen... I'm going to have to edit that out. Oh, wow, sorry, I was drinking a Pepsi. But just what I've seen from the posters, everything just looks great. You know, it's very professional looking, and I'm really pleased with how Skeletor looks. Because that's the one that, you know, can be such a challenge, because you want to have you got to have a real face underneath that. And I haven't gotten to see it in motion yet, but just that photo, I'm like, oh, that really looks awesome.
Skeletor may be my favorite character in the film. He's crazy. Like, he's just a madman in the movie. And the actor didn't have a lot to work with. He had his eyes to work with. You know, he doesn't have, like, sockets. I wanted him to have eyeballs because it really adds to the intensity. And you can really tell... you know, he takes you on a journey with his eyes. You know, how he looks in certain scenes and his body movement. I think that Kevin really did a good portrayal of Skeletor. I'm really happy with how that turned out.
I'm very excited to see it this Monday, January the 11th. Is there a particular time that it's going to be posted to YouTube?
I'm in Central Standard Time, so my plan was just to post it as it. At like midnight, like as it becomes the 11th, like from the 10th to the 11th. So,
all right. So as soon as I wake up in the morning, before I go to work, I'll try to watch it while I'm eating my breakfast.
Yeah, it's 37 minutes long.
Oh, I don't know if I have 37 minutes, but if I have to wake up early, I will do it.
Good.
All right. So everybody, Fall of Grayskull, January the 11th, YouTube. Also, make sure you go to fallofgrayskull.com, because I'm sure you'll have plenty of links there. Plus, you can find out about the production. You can download the comic book. You can find even, I'm sure you've got links over to the music video from there as well. Yep. And also, yes. Make sure you follow it on Facebook.
Yes, facebook.com/fallofgrayskull.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
No, thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page,
a link to visit our shop,
and much more.
And please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
Or email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
If you email us a Lost Boy
or Pixie
nickname with a reason why you chose that name, you can become an official Neverlander.
Girls are too clever to get lost, so we are naturally magical pixies.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support in keeping the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Man Productions.
God bless.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.